Well, welcome back. It's Chris, and you are listening to the Chris Gilbertson Show, where we focus on the secrets of the extraordinarily successful. And through key expert and multimillionaire interviews, we reveal secrets and tips to help you explode your business in many different ways. And I'm really excited for today's show. This gentleman, it's actually really kind of a cool story. He actually found me through my podcast, and we ended up connecting via LinkedIn and got to know each other that way. And then the more I learned about him, I asked him, I would love to have you on the show because he's just a phenomenal businessman. And so it just goes to show you, he also has his own podcast as well, which I'm going to tell you about, but it just goes to show you, you never know who's listening in the iTunes marketplace. So it's really, really exciting. But this gentleman's name is Ralph Quintero, and he is the founder of The Great Business Project. You can find out more about him at thegreatbusinessproject.com. It's a specialized media and consulting services company helping entrepreneurs build great businesses and achieve the financial success and freedom they deserve. And he's also been a serial entrepreneur and an in-demand speaker, trainer, and coach. So Ralph has helped thousands of entrepreneurs all around the world get off the hamster wheel, make more money, and spend less time working in their businesses and more time focusing on what they are passionate about, which we all want more of. And Ralph, he recently launched the Great Business Project magazine. It's a magazine by entrepreneurs for entrepreneurs that is already featured among Apple's top 10 business and investing magazines for the iPad. So really exciting. Definitely want to check that out as well. And Ralph is one of the most sought after experts on the topic of entrepreneurship and business development. So today I'm going to introduce you to Ralph, and we're going to dive deep into how he got started as an entrepreneur and how he sold his first company for $35 million, which is going to be a great story as well. So without further ado, I'm going to lead us right into the interview.
Welcome, Ralph. How are you doing today?
Thank you, Chris. I'm doing wonderful. It's a beautiful sunny day here in South Florida, and really enjoying it.
Excellent. Well, I'd love you to start it off right away with your story and telling us how you started out as an entrepreneur.
You know, my story is interesting because I came up the ranks in the corporate world. I think I've always had the entrepreneurial flair inside of me. I started my first company when I was 13 years old. I started a mobile DJ company, and it's funny, Chris, because the first money I ever made was DJing a party, and we got paid $60. And at the time, for me, that was like winning the lottery. Mind you, I had to split that three ways because I had two other partners. So I made $20. But that was the first time that I realized that I could make money doing something that I was passionate about. You know, as I developed and as I grew and as my life started to develop, I eventually found my way into the corporate world. And I was working as the vice president of global sales for a fairly large Fortune 500 company. Living in California at the time, my wife and I had gotten married. We had moved across the country from Miami to California. And in my position, I was doing a lot of traveling. I was probably out 85% of the time. My wife was home a lot. She was also working for a fairly large company. And by then we had our first son, Taylor. He was barely one, and my wife was pregnant with our second son. And I'll never forget it, Chris. It was a Wednesday night. I remember coming home and found my wife sobbing uncontrollably. And I thought something had happened either with the baby or with one of our family members back home. And she managed to hold back the tears long enough to tell me that she just couldn't do it anymore. She needed a support network. She, you know, she was tired of being lonely. She was tired of me being gone for so long. And that really hit me because I had been feeling the same way for a long time. But you know, I had put on a strong facade. I was doing the right thing. I was climbing the corporate ladder. But more and more, I was realizing that if I wasn't pursuing my passions and spending time with my family, which is one of the things that I love to do the most, we were just throwing it all away. So right then and there, that night, we decided that we were going to make a drastic change and move back to the East Coast. Both of us were going to quit our six-figure jobs. And mind you, we didn't have a plan in place. We didn't know what we were going to do, but we were both hard workers, and we figured we'd figure it out. And that's when I started my first company.
So, wow.
Yeah, it was, you know, sometimes you just need that little tipping point, that trigger that's gonna send it over the ledge for you and really get motivated about doing something. And for me, it was that experience.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, definitely for your family, too. I mean, you sound like a really keen on family coming first, even though business is fun and it's exciting, but it's really at the end of the day, what are we building this for? So that's so true.
I love what you're talking about with you first realize that you can make money from what inspires you. So what inspired you to launch the Great Business Project?
Well, you know, it's interesting because the Great Business Project is fairly new. That's something that we launched in January. But the reason I decided to launch that is because throughout my entrepreneurial career, in what happened after I left corporate and up to selling that company that we had built, I learned a lot of lessons. I learned how to do things. I learned how not to do things. I learned about some common mistakes. I learned a lot of things that I wish somebody would have been able to be there and tell me along the way. So I decided to take things that I was passionate about. Again, I'm a lot about passion, but take the knowledge that I had learned, the practical things that I had learned, and I wanted to put them together so that I could offer them back to entrepreneurs and help them avoid some of the mistakes that I made and hopefully lessen their cycle to success with their businesses.
I love it. Yeah, I love what you say. I wish I had learned some of this or had someone there to guide me. I think every entrepreneur can say that. It's so true, though. Just the things that we like you talk about on your blog and on your website. You know, these things are not taught in school. They're not taught in the corporate world. None of this is taught on how to actually run and manage and grow a business. So, I mean, you really have some phenomenal success stories with what you've been able to create. Specifically, your first company, you sold that for $35 million. So I'd love for you to share what was the most important keys to selling a business that you learned through that process.
You know, it's interesting because that business started from nothing. That business started with no clients, no revenue, no employees. It was my wife and I, and what we did is that we both leveraged what we had learned in corporate. So my wife comes from an advertising background, and I came from a sales and marketing background. And what we did was leverage our expertise in both of those industries to one specific niche. In our case, we were helping consumer electronics companies and professional electronics companies establish themselves in Latin America. So, you know, to anybody who's listening in your audience who is in the corporate world, who's looking for opportunities outside of that to make that leap, you know, one of the places to start, besides your passions, and we can talk about that a little bit later, but one of the places to start is, you know, what are you doing now? What are you considered an expert in your space? And I know you talk a lot about expertise and being able to leverage that. And, you know, my story is a perfect example of that. We started the business in 2003, and in December of 2009, we were generating $35 million in revenue for our clients. And, you know, the lessons that I learned on the way were just, it was crazy. But, you know, I had the benefit of having mentors, both real and virtual mentors, you know, people that I looked up to who really gave me good, solid advice and allowed me to systemize my business in a way that I was able to scale it to that size and eventually divest of it.
Excellent. So what do you, when you talk about systematizing the business, because that is one of probably the biggest areas of struggle for entrepreneurs, especially when they're first getting started, it's, you know, me, myself, and I doing everything. Just like you talked about how you and your wife started out that way, what are kind of some keys to systematizing the business for entrepreneurs to understand?
No, that's a really good question, Chris, because if I would have known that going in, I would have done things very differently. And what I'd like to share is kind of have you take a step back and have the audience take a step back and think of how a fast food franchise works. And if you know anything about the franchise industry, not just fast food, but any type of franchise or even larger companies, they're all based on systems. And What makes that, there's a thing called the franchise manual, where essentially anybody can come off the street with some basic knowledge and understanding of general employee principles. I mean, show up on time, that kind of thing. Yeah. But if you give them a system that they can follow, step one, step two, step three, and replicate over and over again, you'll be able to, one, create consistency, two, eliminate frustration. Because employees are going to know exactly what they need to do, so they're going to be a lot more motivated, they're going to come into work, and they're going to perform much better than they would if that system wasn't in place. Now, the biggest mistake I see entrepreneurs make is that they develop an SOP manual, a sales, a systems and operations manual, right? But they don't systemize anything else. So those manuals are great if you want to tell your employees how to, or your outsource team, how to do a specific task, how to punch in, punch out, request vacation days. But I had a mentor who told me, Ralph, you need to look at your business the same way that a franchise looks at their business, and you need to systemize every aspect of it. And at that time, what that meant was systemizing the way we did everything so that anybody coming off the street could take advantage of that system and could be trained on that system. So what we did is that at that time I developed what I call the five pillars of business. And I think every business has five pillars. And those are mindset, sales, marketing, business development, and strategy. And everything in your business falls into one of those five pillars. And I started systematically looking at it and say, okay, you know, how do I systemize sales? Well, sales start with generating leads. How do we generate leads for our business? Is it coming through referrals? Is it coming through outbound lead generation? And we'll take outbound lead generation as an example. Okay, so how do we do it? Okay, somebody has to pick up the phone. Who picks up the phone? Whose responsibility is it? How many times a week? What is the script that they're going to follow? What's the follow-up after the call is done? Does an email get sent? Does a letter get sent? Does a handwritten note get sent? How often does that happen after the call? If the lead turns into a prospect, who enters that into our system? If it doesn't and it turns cold, when do you put it up for follow-up? What's the follow-up system like? It sounds tedious and it sounds boring, but I got to tell you, it took me about 60 days to do it for a business that was, at the time we were doing about $4 million. But just doing those little things made the business just shoot up dramatically. Now, the reason why I think this is important, Chris, is imagine this for a second, right? You know, the Olympics just passed. They were a great ceremony, and we're coming up on the beginning of football season, so I think this analogy would work well. But imagine that you got invited to the opening ceremonies of the Olympics or to the Super Bowl, and all of a sudden, somebody who you met, a contact you made, invited you to get up in front of everybody and talk about your business and pitch your business. Now, if you're like most entrepreneurs, you know your business like the back of your hand. You know your story better than anybody. You know your products and your services better than anybody. And you've got your elevator pitch down to a science. And if you don't, you should. But I, you know, 9 out of 10 times, most entrepreneurs I come across have got that down. So now imagine that you make that pitch in front of 4 billion people on TV, and you start getting all these phone calls and all these web leads and all these things tomorrow. Could you scale your business tomorrow to be able to hire the amount of people that are going to be required to handle that kind of business? And just like I said, 9 out of 10 entrepreneurs know their pitch. 0 out of 10 entrepreneurs that I've spoken to ever go, yeah, I could do that. And that's what, because I was there. I was one of those 0. And once I figured out how to systemize it, I could tell you, you know what, Chris? Yeah, we could hire 10 people tomorrow, and then 2 days later hire 10 more, and 2 days later hire 10 more, because we have a system in place, and it's repeatable and it's scalable.
Right. Oh, wow. That's amazing. Now, when you first started with your first company, you were going to that up. I mean, obviously, as a person, they always come across a lot, which is part of the business and the fun of it, but what are some of the biggest lessons learned through setting up those systems? Because, I mean, it's great in theory to understand that, but just like you said, 0 out of 10 entrepreneurs you meet even know even how to plan that out. So what would be kind of your first step forward?
I think that the biggest message that I can provide, Chris, is knowing your customer. I think that sounds very basic, but I think it's the area where most entrepreneurs miss the boat. I'm not a big fan of organic growth. And during my last podcast episode, or one of my recent podcast episodes, I spent a significant amount of time talking about how I dislike organic growth. And I got a lot of feedback on that, because, you know, I got a lot of people saying, well, you know, organic growth is part of every business. And they're right. And that's not how I mean organic growth. What I mean by organic growth is that what I find is that a lot of entrepreneurs open the doors, they start doing business, and they will do business with anybody who comes calling to them, whether they're really passionate or they really know about that part of the business or not. And that was a mistake that I was making. I thought I was very niche in that I was helping U.S. and European companies establish themselves in Latin America. What I later found out that wasn't specific enough. And it wasn't until I really got down to it and looked at, okay, what's the specific kind of company? And in my case, it was professional and consumer audio companies. It wasn't until I determined that our morale at the office improved, our sales improved, our revenue skyrocketed, because we had a purpose, we had a definition. Like, somebody would call our office before I had figured all that out, and they would say, hey, we sell batteries. Can you help us sell batteries into Latin America? And we said, sure, no problem. And my sales staff would look at me like I was crazy, because they go, what do we know about batteries? And I'd say, well, we don't have to know about batteries. We can learn about batteries, but what we're experts in is distribution systems in Latin America. But when I realized that the bulk of my employees were really passionate about consumer audio, and they knew that like the back of their hands, as soon as we got rid of our non-core clients, our employees were ecstatic with joy. They felt like coming to work. They felt that it wasn't work. You know, it really aligned us as a company. So, you know, and in knowing your customer, it's being able to say that this is my customer. This is the definition of my customer. And I'm a big fan of creating avatars for mm-hmm. your customer too. You know, what does this customer look like? Where do they live? What kind of clothes do they wear? What kind of car do they drive? What kind of restaurants do they frequent? Do they have kids? Do they have pets? What's their favorite brand of clothing? What's their favorite brand of perfume? Do they have an affiliation with a particular either jewelry company or fine goods company in the case if you're going after the luxury lifestyle? You know, what do they like to do on weekends? What are their hobbies? And that may sound like a little much, but if you know and if you get to know your customers at that level, then you can relate to them at that level, and they're going to feel that you're very authentic because you're speaking to them on terms that they understand and terms that they're passionate about. So I think that knowing your customers is the number one thing that you can do to help propel your business.
Phenomenal advice. I mean, it truly is. That stems into everything, and I know exactly what you're talking about because I did it too, where it's like we chase everybody thinking everybody's our customer, even if it isn't a big niche, but it really isn't. So I just love that advice and the getting so clear, crystal clear, even though, like you said, it takes a little bit of work to, you know, think that out and go through it, your business just completely changed overnight, really, when you put that all together. So that is phenomenal.
I get it. I have to tell you, Chris, that was the one thing that I did first. When we fired our non-core customers, we started making money right away and made up that revenue. It was scary because one of these customers that we got rid of was a very large customer of ours. They represented a big percentage of our revenue. But what happened was that our other customers, all of a sudden we had more time to focus on them. We had more time to really figure out what their needs were. And then we came up with ways of meeting those needs. So they gladly handed over more work to us and more opportunities to us because they saw that we were as passionate about what they were doing as they were.
That's really cool. That's what I really like to hear too, because then you really get into developing that long-term relationship, which sustains even more business growth, which is phenomenal. I just that's so exciting. And it's, you know, it's interesting that one of the other pillars that you were talking about is mindset. And I'm just curious with what you encounter with a lot of entrepreneurs, that fear of scarcity is what, you know, pushes us to want to think we need to chase everybody. So I'm wondering, you know, even though you just talked about the avatar, what about mindset? What about the mindset component of that helped you succeed?
The mindset component is important. I think that anybody who's listening to your show and most of the people who listen to my show already have a winning mindset. I think that they like to associate themselves and surround themselves with successful people. So when I refer to mindset, it goes beyond just the motivational aspect. A lot of times people go, oh, that's the personal development aspect. It's the motivation. It's the rah-rah. Yeah, that's one part of it. But what I'm talking about mindset is that mindset of absolute focus, of absolute drive, of absolute determination, of knowing that there is no other way but doing it the way that you've thought of it. Now, Tony Robbins is very good about talking about this, and he tells a story of, you know, it's like watching sports on TV or you know, you see the kicker come up to the ball, and before he's even kicked that ball over the goalpost, or if he's trying, you almost know whether he's going to make it or not, and you know because of the look on his face, the determination on his face. And he's right. And I think that if you approach your business that way, and you encourage your employees to approach business that way, that's going to make or break you in business. You know, so mindset for me is way beyond just the rah-rah. It's, you know, how we're going to develop our employees, how we want them to think, how we want them to carry themselves out, not only in regards to our business, but in regards to their own personal lives. So it spreads across, you know, the not thinking in terms of scarcity, in thinking win-win. Win-win is very big for us. We will not do anything unless it makes sense for everybody. Now, doing a business transaction where I'm going to win short-term and you may not win short-term doesn't make sense to me. That's not the way that it's worked in our business, and thankfully, because we've been able to build solid foundations because of it.
Right. Yeah, that's so phenomenal. I love everything that you're touching on. So, with one thing I wanted to ask you though was, you know, the advice that you've gotten, the mentors that you've brought into your life. Who are the most important people on your team, in your business, that you would say for you now, the level that you're at with your businesses?
I always have to refer back to two things. I'm part of two mastermind groups, and masterminds for me are very, very important, and I'll get into that in a second. But throughout my career, it started for me in the corporate world, and it's something that I've carried over. So I did learn a lot of valuable things in the corporate world, but one of them was having coaches. You know, and you look at any successful athlete, you look at any successful person, there's always been somebody there to coach them along the way. And it doesn't matter how good the athlete is. Look at Michael Phelps. I mean, he's the most decorated Olympian in history, yet Michael Phelps has a coach. And his coach isn't a better swimmer than Michael Phelps is. There's nobody in the world who's a better swimmer than Michael Phelps. But his coach is looking at things from an outside perspective. His coach is looking at things that Michael can't see because he's so entrenched in what he's doing every day. And that's why I think that my coach, I actually have two coaches, serve me so well, because they're not in my business, they're not in my space, but they can see the kind of things that I'm doing and offer course corrections and offer motivation and offer drive and offer me a different perspective, a perspective that I trust that can help my business. So that's one component. The second component, which I mentioned earlier, is the masterminds. And, you know, I'm a huge fan of surrounding yourself with successful people. It's what I've always done. It's what I believe most successful people do. If you, I've heard it say that, you know, you become the average of the five people who you surround yourself most closely with. So if right. you want to make a change in your life, one of the first places you can, or in your business, one of the first places you should look at is who you're dealing with on a regular basis. And that's an important lesson that I learned. So what I do to make sure that I'm surrounding myself with the right people is I'm part of these mastermind groups. And what they are is a group of like-minded entrepreneurs. We're all in different business spaces, so we can offer each other a slightly different perspective. But we get together usually once a quarter. One of them we get together once a quarter. One of them we get together every month for a couple of hours, and we talk about our businesses, we talk about our challenges, what's working, what's not working, and we look at it across several industries. So, and that's important, because sometimes, Chris, we get so involved in what we're doing in our own industries that we fail to see some of the innovation and some of the things that are happening outside of our industries that maybe we could be blazing a trail with if we only applied some of those things in our own businesses. So for me, the mastermind and the coaching are two key components of my business.
Oh, phenomenal. And I love how you talk about, I like to call it the blind spot coach. I learned that. I wish I had learned that earlier, but Keith Cunningham is a huge proponent of what are you not assuming, or what are you assuming about the situation, and what we don't know that we don't know. You know, you just can't always cover that. So I love how you talk about that, because that really is so significant. And to be able to connect with other people in different industries, I think that's genius too, because then you get so much of a different perspective of, you know, what works and what doesn't that you guys, oh, I love it. That's outstanding advice.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sorry, Chris. I'm sorry to cut you off. I was just going to share a little story. I mean, it's interesting sometimes the kind of things that come from your coaches, too, and the way that they make you see things. I remember not too long ago we were getting ready to launch a product. And I got with one of my coaches, and I was telling him what we were going to do and telling him all about it, and we do this and we do that. And I went through the whole pitch. And he looked at me and said, I don't care. Actually, nobody cares. And he just stopped me cold in my tracks. I said, what are you talking about? You don't like it? You don't like the product? And he goes, well, I'm sure the product is great. I don't care because you haven't told me what it's going to do for me. Now, that was an eye-opener for me because I consider myself somebody who's figured out his customer, what my customer wants. I mean, we just talked about it. We talked about the whole avatar thing. But, I mean, he was reminding me, remember, it's not about you. It's not about what you've done, what you've achieved. That's yesterday. You know, what are you doing today to help enrich other people's lives? How is your product or service going to make my life better? Make it about me, and I'll be engaged. So it's those kind of things that are really powerful.
That's an amazing point, and I noticed that in my business too. And I actually got feedback from some really private coaching clients that I was working with, and they were like, well, you know, these are really – it's funny too because I like that you talked about that because we have to really sometimes dig deep within our customer and know what their real problem is. A lot of people want to solve the symptom but not the real pain point. And when you get involved with it at that level and really look at what's in it for them – and understand what they want, because a lot of times I see entrepreneurs building things for what they think people need, but it's really not what they need. So I think that's a really valid point to really assess that and understand what the main benefits are and really dig deep to find out what that real pain problem is, not just the symptom. It's a great advice. So I'd love for you to share on what you see as some of the trends in the marketplace today, because you're in a lot of different. You're in iTunes now. You're in with the magazine. You've got app market. I mean, you've got a lot going on right now. So I'd love to, from your focal point, what you see as some of the trends coming up for entrepreneurs in the coming years.
I think technology is making it so that it's so easy nowadays to go global that. Anybody who starts to take advantage of that in a very directed way and in a very methodical way, they're going to see the benefits from it. It's never been easier to put yourself on a platform that can help you to compete with a Fortune 500 company. I think you'd agree. I mean, you're doing some spectacular things, and you're the way you're coaching people through podcasting, through partnerships with Amazon. I mean, it's just that kind of thing. You look back 10 years. How hard was it to get a book deal?
Oh, right?
Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, and look at what technology's done now. So I think keeping a close watch on technology, you're going to start seeing some real monumental shifts, some seismic shifts in the way we do business. You know, just recently I was talking to the founders of a great company called LaunchIt, the word launch.it. LaunchIt is a great disruptive service that all entrepreneurs should know about. You know, we know the power of press releases, and a well-written press release circulated through the right channels could potentially mean a lot of business for you. But, you know, the PR world is a world that has been very, very old, very musty, not a lot of changes, not a lot of great things, not really embracing technology, the technology and the social media platforms that are available today. And the guys at LaunchIt have completely turned the PR world on its head, and it gives an outlet to entrepreneurs to be able to not only publicize what they're doing, what they're launching, and so forth, but it allows the community to help spread that message at no cost to the entrepreneur. So all of a sudden, where it used to cost you several hundred dollars to put your message out through a press release service, now you can do it for free, and the community, very similar to the way Kickstarter works, the community is helping to propel you and your business forward. You know, Kickstarter, there's another great one, microfunding. Microfunding is huge. If you're very passionate about a project and you can put forth that passion in a video, in a statement, in whatever type of channel you can, and the only thing holding you back is money, don't let money hold you back. Kickstarter is an amazing platform to be able to make your dreams come true. And every day I'm seeing entrepreneurs, you know, hit those thresholds, hit those goals, achieve what they're trying to do through things like Kickstarter. So, you know, those are two things that I think are going to be very powerful. I think, you know, being able to leverage mobile technology, very, very big. You know, we come from a world where email lists or mailing lists are important. You know, having somebody's mobile phone number is going to be very important very soon, because, you know, I think that for the first time ever, there's less people with home phone service in this country than with mobile phones. So, you know, with more and more mobile adoption, it's going to be more and more important to reach people where they're at using the platforms that they're on. So, you know, those are the biggest trends that I see, Chris. Outsourcing continues to be a big trend. You know, the virtual business lifestyle. I think one of the reasons why people become an entrepreneur is because they want that freedom. And that's kind of what our motto is at the Great Business Project. It's helping entrepreneurs find that the freedom and you know, financial success that they deserve. You know, I think that an entrepreneur being able to work from wherever they want to support the kind of lifestyle that they want is key. And the tools to do that are there today. So I see that trend going to increase, and the trend towards outsourcing and be able to get people in different countries to help with your work and help put things out are going to become more and more prevalent.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the mobile phone is people. Of what's changing and where the consumer is going. So, what do you think is the consumers into the marketplace?
I'm sorry, Chris, you cut out there for a second.
Oh, what do you see as the shifts in the consumers' buying behavior now with the technical, you know, with the technology age that we're now?
You know, it's interesting, but I liken it to going back to, say, what life was in the 50s. Now, that may sound counterintuitive, right? But hear me out here for a second. You know, back then, before there were Walmarts, before there was social media, before there was email and internet and 24-hour-day news networks, where were people getting most of their advice? They were getting it from their friends. They were getting it from people who they trusted. They were getting it. The moms were getting it from the PTAs. The guys were getting it from their golfing or poker buddies. You know, when somebody needed to find a good hairdresser, they'd ask their friends, hey, who's your hairdresser? Why do you like them? Or, hey, listen, I'm looking for a new set of golf clubs. You know, where should I go buy them? And that's how commerce was supported back then. And I think that social media has given us that same opportunity today. I think that buying pattern, you know, between then and now, big box stores happened. So people were going to all these Walmart-like outlets to buy everything that they needed. And it had become almost impersonal. But with social media, it's all personal. You're getting people's advice all the time. You can have their input. I don't know how many of my friends I've seen recently go, hey, I'm looking for a camera. What's the best camera I should buy? And boom, 10 seconds later, they have 18 responses with people's opinions, why they should buy them, where they should buy them, what they're good for, whether they're happy, whether they're not happy. You know, the power of that as entrepreneurs is massive because you have instant feedback. The fact that you can pull your audience right away is immense power. Now, what you do with that power can make or break you and make or break your business. But you made the point earlier about people not asking or people creating products only to find out that their audience doesn't want them. Take 2 seconds and put out, you know, there's free tools where you can use things like SurveyMonkey or even Facebook polls, although I think those may be going away. Or just put up a question on your Facebook page or on Twitter. Hey, what do you guys think about this? I promise you, you're going to get immediate feedback and fairly quickly because people are open to that.
Definitely. Yeah, it's really an exciting time right now because it's really putting the power back with the consumer, and the companies that recognize that and realize the power of the social proof, and just like what you talked about, you know, getting the implementing that, very powerful, very exciting too for the businesses that can take advantage of that. So I love that. So what?
I'm sorry, I was going to say, absolutely, it's what creates authenticity. We talked about authenticity a little earlier, and authenticity today is more important than ever, and accessibility is more important today than ever. A good example of that, Chris, is McDonald's. You know, McDonald's usually gets a bad rap. People are always saying, oh, I wonder what's in their meat, and I wonder why their burgers don't rot, or, you know, why the pictures look so great in advertisements, but then you get to the restaurant and the burgers don't quite look like that. McDonald's Canada has taken such a proactive approach to that, and they've started putting out YouTube videos answering those very questions, and they've opened their Facebook page to public comment, and they are addressing all of these things. And, you know, they basically say, we have nothing to hide. It's very similar to when Taco Bell put out their full-page ad in USA Today when somebody had, you know, accused them of using subpar meat. Companies that have nothing to hide aren't afraid to put it out there and engage their communities. And I give tremendous kudos to McDonald's for being that bold and taking that approach, because I think they're doing a really good thing.
That's amazing. And it's great to hear that, too, because a lot of times I feel that with a lot of the big companies, and I think it's starting to shift now, but where it's, you know, there's the voice of the consumer is not heard, and it's, you know, been barreled over, and it's just, you know, some of the bigger conglomerate companies. So that's really exciting to hear that shift in how, you know, big business is doing, conducting business now. And I love what you're talking about with just all of the different channels that we have now to engage with consumers. And I'm curious with the business owners that you work with, what do you feel are the best channels right now for marketing for entrepreneurs?
Well, I'll share with you the channels that we follow with our publishing empire, right? I think it's important for entrepreneurs to be a master of a few as opposed to dabble in many. And I think that one of the things that we have an issue with today is too many choices. There's Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and Tumblr and Pinterest and blogs and podcasts and radio shows and magazines and blah, blah, blah. I mean, we could sit here and probably go through 1,000 different platforms that are available to all of us.
Right.
What I find that's very effective, Chris, is focusing on three platforms. And that's across your entire business. I like the rule of three. So our main business focuses on the blog, the podcast, and the magazine. In social media, we focus on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest. Or depending on which one of the companies that I own that we're talking about, Pinterest could be interchanged with LinkedIn. But we follow that rule so that we make sure that the value of the content that we're putting out across those platforms is amazing. I think amazing content is what's propelling entrepreneurs forward. I think the biggest mistake people make is just because the platform is available, they use it. And the content that they put out is subpar. And eventually people lose interest. They just won't read it. They'll block you. They'll ignore your post. You want to make it so that every time you put something out, it's epic, so that people look forward to what you're going to put out there. So, you know, that's the reason we created the magazine. You know, I know from experience, I'm an avid magazine reader, and I know that most entrepreneurs like magazines. And we wanted to have a platform for them, so we decided to create our own platform, and the response has been amazing so far.
Yeah, that is awesome. I'm going to come back to that. So, one, I love Epic. I want you, if you can talk a little bit more about that, because that is, that's really killer what you're talking about right there. And I think a lot of people miss that component in today's marketplace. Like you just talked about, we get ADD, we get overwhelmed, and we feel like we need to put stuff out everywhere. But if you kind of address more of that Epic principle, I love that. I think that's outstanding.
I mean, Epic to me means putting out stuff that people would be proud to share. Right? If I can put something out that anybody, any one of my customers would be happy to print out and show to somebody else, that's what I mean by epic. Epic is something that could live on its own. If you took something and something you wrote, for example, or something you produced, whether it's a podcast episode or a magazine, and you tried to make it stand alone on its own, that's something that's epic. To me, being able to say, I'm going to write this blog post, not because it's Tuesday and I have to write this blog post. I'm going to write this blog post because the three things that I have to say could transform somebody's business and put them on track to become a millionaire. And I have the background to prove that, and I've used these tips myself, and I've done the research with it. But to put something out to say, hey, you know, I'm putting this out because it's Tuesday, and I only say that because I know that there's a lot of bloggers out there and a lot of people where putting out content becomes a chore, and content shouldn't be a chore. Content should be amazing value add, and that's what I mean by epic. I mean, I don't mind putting my best stuff out there. I want to be classified as the guy who always puts out great stuff. My companies always put their best foot forward. It's the principles by which I live my life. I'm either going to do it in an amazing, epic way, or I'm not going to do it. And that's kind of how I approach everything. And the way, you know, talking about mindset, that's how we operate our business. That's how our employees think. The first thing they ask themselves, is this epic? Is this important? Is this valuable? And if they can answer that question themselves and the answer is no, then that's okay. We move on to the next thing. But everything, I mean, that's kind of that mindset you have to have. It's like, put out stuff that's going to change people's lives, that's going to impact them, that's going to motivate them, that's going to do, you know, regardless of what space you're in. I mean, you could be in the art space, you could be in the fashion space, you know. Are you going to put out a new shirt because it's time to put out something for the season? Or are you going to put out something that's tremendously awesome? You know, don't go with the norm of some kind of schedule. If you have something good to put out today, put it out today. And if you don't have something good for another 2 weeks, that's okay. Spend those 2 weeks working on something epic. Don't just put it out because you have to.
I love it. And I love how you just talked about, too, that all the employees can – answer that question. It's not anything that they have to think about that they know in their gut and trust that what they're, you know, you're all on the same ship and you're all going the same direction. I just think that's outstanding. So one other idea I had or question I have for you is you didn't mention anything about YouTube. So I'm curious what your thoughts are with the video marketing revolution going on right now.
I think video is huge, and I think video is here to stay. I also think that video is in its infancy stage. And I, as much YouTube channels and YouTube videos that are served out there and videos circulating, I do see in the very near future where cable TV is going to have a run for their money. Only because people are starting to consume the kind of content they want, when they want, where they want, on the platform they want. So I don't discount video at all. As a matter of fact, we incorporate a lot of video into some of our publishing efforts. But I think that we are just starting to see the early stages of video. I mean, when you consider the fact that you can shoot high definition video from your iPhone today, and you can be out anywhere and put together, you know, some kind of report, some kind of message to your tribe, to your followers, to your fans. I mean, take advantage of that. Put it out there. That's another one of those marketing channels that we talked about. And a very effective one at that, because video, see, here's the interesting thing that I see about video. Video is a platform that can be scaled in so many ways. So, and infinitely, and here's what I mean. If you write a blog post, you've written that blog post or you've written a piece of content, maybe an ebook, and it's there. And you can use it as a script for something later on or something like that, but it's there. Now, if you start with a video and you record this video and you put out amazing content in the video, then you can strip down the audio from that video and you have an audio product. And then you can take that and you can have it transcribed and now you have an ebook. Mm-hmm. So by starting on the video side of things, you've got this multi-tiered platform of amazing content that you can use and repurpose and use to better and benefit your business.
Outstanding. Yeah, that's awesome. The age we live in now is just so exciting. It really is. And I love the repurposing that you're talking about, because that's exactly what I teach. It's take the content that you have that you've made epic and then repurpose it all over the place. So that's so exciting.
It's important, Chris, because people consume things differently. Some people like to hear things. Some people like to read things. Some people like to see things. So why not give people what they want?
That's a great point, and it's so true. Exactly, and just what you talk about, I say the same things. People want what they want, when they want, where they want, and how they want it, and on the mediums they want, and the platforms. So catering to that, it just opens your door up for even more success with your business, but it doesn't have to be so labor-intensive, I think, that sometimes people think. So just what you talked about, starting with the platform probably that you like the most that makes sense for you, and then being able to just outsource that for the different other mediums to repurpose your content. It's phenomenal. It's just so exciting.
Absolutely. I agree with you. I mean, start with what you're comfortable with. Not everybody's comfortable in video, and that's perfectly fine. Start with what you're comfortable with and think of how you can use that content to spread your message.
Right. And that's a great point too. I mean, that's how I started a lot of people with podcasting, because they're not comfortable with video yet, but it gets them out there and gets them started. And then you can branch off once you're more comfortable into other platforms. So kind of segueing here, I'd love for you to talk about your podcast and how that's impacted your business and how you're using that in your business.
It's really interesting because I'm not a stranger to podcasting. I probably consume 2 to 3 hours of podcasts a day. As a matter of fact, Chris, I have to give you mad props because that's how I found you. And that's my initial introduction to you is through your podcast, which I think is amazing. I did it because I like surrounding myself with successful people, and that's what you were bringing to your audience. So you resonated with me immediately. And I listen to them in the morning while I work out. I'm not a huge TV person, so in the evenings, but depending on what I'm doing or if I'm doing work around the house, I'm listening to podcasts. And I've participated in several podcasts, and at one point we were producing a podcast, but we just restarted the Great Business Project podcast, and it truly is amazing because not only is it resonating with entrepreneurs and we're able to give epic content out, but what it's done for our traffic is incredible. I mean, I know you teach about podcasting and the power of podcasting, and you're quite the expert in that space. I can tell you that our web traffic increased nearly 40% since we started producing that podcast. 40, yes. 40, not 14, 40.
Right.
And when you look at numbers like that, there is no denying of the power that something like that can have if you're putting out the right kind of content.
Right. That is just phenomenal. Congratulations. That's so exciting. I love hearing that because it truly, and it comes down to whatever medium you're on. It doesn't matter if it's YouTube or, whatever strategy, article marketing, wherever you're focusing on. If you're doing, like you talked about, the epic marketing and you're using it the right way, you can position yourself for massive success. But that's so exciting. 40% increase to your blog. That's probably one of the best ones I've heard yet. So I give you, that's outstanding. So excited.
Thank you.
That's great. So what other advice can you share for entrepreneurs listening in?
The biggest bit of advice, Chris, is take massive action. And I know that's kind of a broad bit of advice, but we've actually made rubber bracelets for every single one of our employees. We give them out. I mail them out to people. I hand them out at conferences that say, take massive action. If you do something every day for your business, it's going to snowball. It's going to turn into something big. The biggest problem with most people today is that they become paralyzed. They either become paralyzed by fear, they become paralyzed by too much information. Information overload is bad sometimes. The best advice I can offer is to take massive action. In sales, I recently said during a speaking engagement, I said, the money in your pocket is directly proportional to how much you pitch every day. So if you haven't picked up the phone today and done something to generate a dollar for your business, you've left a dollar on the table that you're never going to have the opportunity to get back. And people forget that. People get carried away in the administrative part of their businesses and, oh my God, I have to put out this fire and I have this going on and I have that. But they forget that the reason they're in business is to make money.
Yep.
So take massive action. Pick one of the pillars of your business every day and do something important. Do something epic every single day.
Oh, excellent. I mean, thank you so much for all your advice on here. I've taken so much away myself. And I want to readdress that 3 points that you talked about when you're talking about with the social media and the different outlets there, to focus on 3. I think that is so key. And what you're just talking about, too, is what are your money producing? What are your productivity activities? Because that is, I think, just like you talked about, we get so caught up in all these things that we have to be doing. The have to isn't really, at the end of the day, what is really the have to. So I think that's
right.
Outstanding advice, really, to, and then, you know, even to make it even simpler, what are the three main things you have to do each day that are going to move the ticker forward in your business? And if I learned that a long time ago, it truly does make a difference. So that's outstanding advice.
Yeah, and I didn't, just like you, Chris, I didn't figure that out till probably way too late in my business. If I would have figured it out earlier, I mean, Lord knows how my business would be today or what it would have turned out to. For me, it turned out great because I learned it.
Right.
But it's really important. It's really important to focus on being productive in your business.
Yeah. And I think, too, to add to that is to learn to say no and stick to it and be okay with that.
Because
that was the hardest thing for me. It still is, you know.
That is the best advice. Mike Michalowicz is the author of, he's best-selling author of The Toilet Paper Entrepreneur and The Pumpkin Plan.
Yeah.
And he and I were chatting the other day, and we were talking about that, about saying no. And that's something that turned almost into a fun game in our business, where I'd say no to everything. And people would go, but why? And I'd go, tell me why we should do it. And they'd give me something else, and I'd go, no. And then they'd tell me something else. And eventually, one of two things would happen. Either their conviction about it was so strong and they believed in it so much that we'd actually do it, and that's exactly what I was looking for,
right,
or they just abandoned it because they made up their mind along the way that it wasn't worth it.
Yeah. And I love that you implement that in your business, because that's a duplicatable skill that your managers can use in going forward. But it reminds me of a story I heard about Richard Branson, how he and I don't know the exact story on this, so don't quote me on this, but he was being pitched by someone to be come and speak for an event. And this company kept, you know, they're like, okay, we'll pay you $50,000, and we'll pay you $100,000, and we'll pay you $250,000, we'll pay you $500,000. And finally his assistant came back and said, no, the only three things that Sergio Branson is focusing on this year are these three things, and you don't fit into that. So it doesn't matter what you want to pay him, it's not going to happen. And I'm like, wow, that truly makes sense. Because when you stick to no, then the universe can send you what you're really focused on. And like you said, you know, because a lot of people will get excited about something for 90 days, and then they disappear. Or, you know, something else comes up, the next shiny penny syndrome. So
yeah, exactly.
Tell us where everybody can find out more about you and about your business and your podcast and all the fun stuff that you've got going on.
Absolutely. If people want to learn more about what we're doing at The Great Business Project, look for great advice tips. They can find us at thegreatbusinessproject.com. We also have our latest magazine, which I think entrepreneurs are going to love. We have a lot of really, really good advice on there, and that you can find at thegreatbusinessproject.com/mag, M-A-G. And then I'm, like I said, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and I'm Ralph Quintero on every single one of those platforms. But there's also links to it from the website, so that's where they can find me, Chris.
You were just listening to the Ralph Quintero interview, where we talked about key business tips to explode your business. Make sure to head over to thegreatbusinessproject.com to learn more about Ralph, his coaching, his podcast, and the magazine. And if you want to learn how to take your brand global, literally in 30 days, and learn how to use the power of podcasting to explode your business by partnering with iTunes, make sure to head over to chrisgilbertson.com and sign up to learn more about free multimedia marketing updates to help you in your business and to learn the power of podcasting. Stay tuned for more killer interviews to help you in your business, and go out and make it a great day.